OTB AM.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Let's move on. I'm delighted to say that we have bronze medalist Arthur Lanigan O'Keefe on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Arthur. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it was good. Really happy.
Yeah, so...
just back yesterday.
I think most people kind of first became aware of you in the Olympic Games, and that was an amazing come-from-behind performance as well on the last day to really cement yourself as the among the top tier of modern pentathletes in the world. And it was a pretty much come-from-behind at the weekend as well.
Well, luckily at the weekend I had a better fence than I had at the Olympics. So I was in third position going into the combined, but I had a bad shoot on one of the last ones, and I had to... Basically, I was down in fourth and quite a long way away from third, and I had to kind of really find something from somewhere to get the bronze. So it wasn't quite as far behind as the Olympics, but yeah, it was still I had a lot to do on the last lap, so I'm really happy to come away with the medal.
Okay, I understand you're also with another world-class pentathlete in the car this morning. Hey, Natalia, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. You finished fourth at the weekend.
I know, so close to a medal. Arthur just stole that one off me, but it's okay.
So are you happy enough celebrating afterwards, or is it like, God damn it?
It's like a bittersweet, because I'm so delighted that I actually came fourth, because it was basically like a world champs, and that's amazing. I've kind of moved up the ranks, but it is so, you're so close to a medal so that's slightly bittersweet as well.
At least you've got one in the car to inspire you next time, so that you're the one with the medal at least, or maybe both of you get medals the next time.
Yeah, hopefully. He seems to have beaten me both times we've won medals the last while, so I think it's my turn at this stage.
You guys are going to compete together at some point soon, is that right?
We're not really sure. Maybe at Europeans, but we're not really sure, because we're kind of just focusing. We focused on the relay last year because we thought it might be in the Olympics, and then we were ranked world number one. We won kind of most of the stuff that we did, but this year we know it's not going to be in the Olympics, so we really focused on the individual, which seems to be paying off.
Okay, so what is the schedule then for the rest of the season, and how long is the season?
We're both going to Europeans in 3 weeks' time, and that's on in Hungary, and that's our last kind of one of the season, so we've got Europeans there, so hopefully we can end on a good one and a good high.
Yeah, and then a bit of time off before obviously everything kind of begins to ramp up again.
Yeah, a bit of time off then, a bit of a rest, and then ramp up, because next year is the Olympic qualifiers, so it's one of the most important years.
All right. Natalia, I know you've got to go. If you could stick us back on to Arthur there, Arthur,
yep,
we might get a bit more detail on where exactly this level of performance is coming from, and how confident you were heading into the weekend, because you obviously had medaled and won recently enough at a World Cup event as well. So obviously you're just in kind of the form of your life at the minute.
Yeah. To be honest, if we like kind of go back a couple of months ago, my first World Cup this year in LA was really poor, and my physicals, basically I think I overtrained myself, and my bloods and everything were all over the place. And I was talking with my team at the Institute of Sport of the possibility of pulling the season. And luckily I just kind of came back to form just in time. I think there was one pivotal running session where they were going to test to see whether it was the season is going to be called off or whether it was okay. And the running session went well. And ever since then, the season has just gone from being, you know, a write-off to being, I don't know, the best season I've ever had by far. So it's crazy the margins in sport, between, you know, complete disaster and unbelievable success. So yeah, I'm really, really happy.
And why did that happen, Arthur? Was that like a miscalculation? Was it just kind of a mental rut that you were in? Why did this sea change happen so quickly?
To be honest, it's hard to know exactly why. In LA, I felt like I was in unbelievable shape. I might have gotten a little bit too lean. And thought, you know, in order to be performing really well, I'd need to be, you know, really ripped, and kind of all that kind of stuff mattered more than it did. And then when I got to the final in LA, I just had nothing. You know, I dived into the pool and I just had no energy. And then when we went home, usually my bloods are really good. We got tested, and a lot of my levels were kind of all over the place. And that could be attributed to a lot of different reasons, stress or just generally just kind of just, you know, you play like it's fine margins between doing everything you can do and then doing, you know, everything you can do plus one session a week or something, and that builds up. So it's a good learning curve for me. So basically ever since that World Cup, I've literally just taken one swimming session away per week, and I've felt way better and eaten a little bit more food, gotten a little bit fatter, but I'm much happier. So it's turned out really well. Good learning curve for me.
That's mad. Like, it's really mad when you think about it. The whole season rests on this one training session, and here you are now having the, like, if you stop to think about it, you go a bit crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was a weird one, and it, at the time I was, you know, I kind of rationalized in my head, and I was thinking, you know, if you run in this session and you're flat again, you know, this is the only way forward. You're going to have to just stop. But I had my physiologist there. I had my running coach. I had my PD, and I had my nutritionist at the running session. They're all there kind of crossing their fingers, and luckily it went well. So yeah, and ever since then, the season's just gone from strength to strength. I think at the moment, my world ranking's gone up to number 3 in the world, just behind the 2 Korean boys that beat me. So it's been a dream come true, really. It's crazy how things can change so fast.
How good are the 2 Koreans? Because I saw you speaking after your bronze medal win at the weekend, talking about the 2 Koreans and trying to catch up with them in the last event of the modern pentathlon there in Kazakhstan. Like, are they somebody that you've been competing with for a while? Are they new on the scene? Are they going to be around for Tokyo, I guess, is the key question.
These guys have been around for a good while. Both of these guys were in Tokyo. I would say the guy who won had a phenomenal fence that day, and he provided he was going to ride that way, he was always going to win. But the real danger is the guy who came second. He was actually the guy who was behind me in the last World Cup. On our days, we're both very similar. Our kind of swimming, running, shooting, and fencing are very similar. But he's like a little robot. He doesn't really miss targets and stuff. So if you make a small mistake, he's ready to capitalize on you. So yeah, they're absolutely incredible athletes, and at the moment they have 400 full-time modern pentathletes in one university training. So they have a conveyor belt of them coming through, and it's really starting to show now. So yeah, they're incredible athletes, but they're definitely not unbeatable. If you have a very good day and things go your way, they're definitely not impossible to beat, but they are very, very, very strong.
And are you thinking about them at all in terms of how you're structuring your training? Are you focusing a little bit more on the fencing element of things now because they're so good at it?
Absolutely. So in my big problem in Rio was my fencing didn't go my way. So usually my running and my swimming are very strong. So this year I've done a lot of work with a fencing coach over in GB, and my fencing performances have been a lot higher. And maybe I put less emphasis on some of the other events, and it's basically meant the performances are much better. So yeah, the key for me is to get a relatively good fence, and if I do that, then I know I'm in a shot of a medal most of the time. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of work on my fencing.
How do you concertina the time? Like, do you have certain blocks where you focus to make sure that it's kind of like a pre-season, you know, you've got your running down, you've got your shooting down, you've got your fencing down, or do you have to do a little, you obviously have to do a little bit all the time of everything?
Yeah, there's a kind of a rule where you keep touch with everything, so you don't fully drop anything. But in the winter, it would be more running and swimming focused. Yeah, you do a lot of, basically you have to be a very good runner and swimmer anyway, and the fencing is kind of the icing on the cake. So the winter would be spent doing a lot of endurance work, a lot of hard training, and then when you get closer to the summer, you keep touch with all that. You add a bit of speed. And then you start really honing down the technicals, because they're the ones that the Koreans are really good at. But that's the kind of icing on the cake. Whereas you can't just suddenly decide to focus on becoming fit. You have to have done months and months and months of training for that. So yeah, basically the winter you focus a lot on the physicals, and the summer in between the competitions you're trying to, you know, hone down that shoot, perfect the fencing, you know, routine. And at the same time, just keep touch and stay fit. You don't try to get even more fit in this stage. But yeah, it seems to be working really well. But it's a real trial and error. And we've been doing it for the last few years. And I think we've found the perfect mix going forward now to Tokyo. So it's really good.
Because like it must be very unique as well for any multi-event discipline, really, to know that you're such a good swimmer and such a good runner, because unless you're a top-class swimmer or runner, you will never be able to compete in modern pentathlon. And then I'd imagine there is at least one of the other disciplines that you wouldn't be an expert at, even close to 18, 19 years old. So, like, you're 26 years old, I think, at the moment, Arthur. Like, I presume the incremental gains you're making are still quite significant in a couple of disciplines, which is unique to the multi-discipline sports, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I love about pentathlon is there's so much to work on. Like, you never finish the competition and go, I had the perfect day, I couldn't have done any better. That just does not exist. I think I've finished and crossed the line maybe one or two times in my whole career where I've been pretty damn satisfied with every event. So it's kind of addictive. You always have something that you can work on. You always have something that you can improve on. And that's the really exciting thing, because I still feel like I'm performing really well this year and Natalia's performing really well this year, but we have still huge steps to take, and we've identified those areas now as well. So if we can, you know, keep improving in the way we're doing at the moment, come Tokyo, we're going to be very difficult to beat. Sorry.
That's really cool. Did I read somewhere that you sleep for 14 hours a night? Or is that just that particular element of the year?
That was true. That was before Rio, when I was using an altitude tent, and in order to get the benefit from an altitude tent, so to get the adaptations of the red blood cells in your body, you have to spend a very large amount of the time in the tent.
Okay.
So basically for 3 weeks, I would have to spend like up to 14, 16 hours in it. So basically I'd slept a lot as well. Now, I would be a little bit less stringent on those rules now on myself, but I would always try to get between like kind of 9-10 hours a day, and then if it's a really hard training day, I'll chuck in a nap or two as well, because otherwise it's just very difficult to keep going, you know.
We spoke about the endurance and the technical aspects of this, but presumably most of this is mental as well, because you guys, the strength and conditioning stuff, there's not a huge amount of advantage that one program is going to have over another. Technically, obviously, there's loads of room to get better, but how do you train your brain to switch between swimming and shooting and fencing?
That is the hardest part of pentathlon to master. If you look at the start list on a day, you know, all the guys who make finals, all the women who make finals, they're phenomenal athletes, they're really good runners, they're really good swimmers, and on paper, it's very difficult to kind of separate who's going to win, but for some reason there's always a trend, and the same people you see on the podium time and time again. And that is one of the reasons why the Koreans are actually so strong, is they're mentally phenomenal. And so I've been doing a lot of work actually with a psychologist this year, Kate Kirby, and we've been doing mental routines for my fencing. So I don't think I've gotten technically much better in fencing, but I'm much more robust in my routine, and it means that, say, if I lose a few hits in the middle of a fence, I don't, you know, throw the trolley out and suddenly, you know, just lose and go on a losing spree. I'm now much more consistent when I lose some, and I have a system where I can stay on track with my performances. What we've done this year is it's very, very random. So she figured this out, but I embody an animal. I have four different animals that I use during my fencing. At the start, when I'm nervous, I become a peacock. So I have to like basically strut around the place like a peacock, so that I have the confidence to attack someone and not afraid of losing. I then become a hitman. So I basically start like speaking in a Russian accent and a hitman. So basically I just go and attack them with no fear at all. It's quite funny. And then on the third quarter, I become a shark. So I lure my prey in at the last minute, attack them. And then the last eight fights, I become a lion. So it's just raw aggression, get the caffeine into you, and just try to kill them, basically. And it's really weird. Like, that sounds crazy, but for some reason this year, it's been working so well. So I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah, it's really weird.
That's class. That's brilliant. One last thing struck me: the ability to perform the way you did at the end of the Olympics in Rio is really going to set you up, because you totally understand that it's okay to have a setback and come back and you can still perform at a world-class level. How much confidence did you take from the fact that things didn't go your way for a while in Rio, but you did roar back into the competition like a lion?
I'm not going to lie. I actually was very disappointed with my Rio performance. Not in in some of the distance they were very good, but just the fencing, I was very disappointed. I was full sure going to the Olympics that I was going to medal, and so eighth place at the time. Look, I was very happy when I crossed the line, because I'd come from being in 29th to making it back to eighth. But coming back a few months later, you know, I was quite disappointed. But I knew that, you know, on a different day, had I had a better mental approach in the fencing, had things gone slightly differently, I was in the shape to win a medal. And so you can take confidence from that. I'm fully confident that, you know, if things, fingers crossed, go okay in Tokyo, I'm definitely in with a shot of a medal. And I'm going to do everything I can to get there. And I 100% believe that I can do that. So, yeah, confidence is good at the moment. And these last few results is only kind of backing that up, really. So it's really cool.
So one more event this season, and then a bit of downtime to prepare for next season. Then next year is qualification for the Olympics, and then the year after is the Olympics.
Spot on, yeah. So we have European champs in July, and that'll be the last competition of the season. And then next year we're looking into Olympic qualification, which should be good. And then Tokyo. So yeah, look, it's all very exciting, and it's all going very well, fingers crossed. But yeah, it's great.
There's a hell of a lot of travelling obviously involved, and a hell of a lot of airports. My one last question is, how the hell do you get the guns and the swords through airport security?
Hopefully no airlines are listening. But basically, I've become a master at taking apart a gun. So I'll hide parts of a gun in my shoe. I'll kind of put some in my fencing mask. I'll basically make it not look like a gun anymore. Now, unfortunately, it isn't actually a gun. It only shoots a laser. It doesn't shoot ammunition or anything. So it just looks like one. So hopefully I don't get in trouble for that. But the swords from fencing are a little bit easier to get through, because they only have like a button at the top. So most airlines don't really mind. But every once in a while, you know, it can cause you trouble. It's like pentathlon. It takes experience to learn how to sneak guns and swords into different countries. But after a while, you can master it. So I won't give away any more of my secrets, just in case that might be asked in the future.
It sounds like it's not that much of a leap for you to pretend to be a Russian hitman whatsoever. It's like, oh, I've already got this. I'm already playing most of this role.
I think I could have a good career as a hitman in
Well, listen, best of luck. Congratulations on your success, and indeed on Natalia's as well. It's great stuff, and everybody's cheering you on. Thanks a million, Arthur.
Thanks very much for having me. Cheers, guys.
OTB AM.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.